Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side, which was upon the waters of the river. How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night edition of the Wise Shall Understand Radio Bible Prophecy Program. We are broadcasting live on the and Bible teacher. We're very glad that you're with us this evening. We have it's a tough topic tonight. This is a topic that up until recently was in the realm of hardcore conspiracy theory only. We've entitled the show, Obama's Feds Have Prepared 30,000 Guillotines and FEMA Camps. Even as recently as 6 months ago, a lot of people would have just, you know, unless you were a hardcore conspiracy theory person, you wouldn't even really give that the time of day, because that is so far out there that most people wouldn't even give it credibility. But in the last 8 to 12 weeks, we have seen scandal after scandal popping up from the depths of the bowels of the Obama administration. And things which people had long said were not happening were proved to be happening. The IRS scandal, the Department of Justice scandal, the phone tapping, the hacking, all the things that the Obama's federal government has been doing. And the Benghazi cover-up scandal, the Bin Laden scandal, dumping the body at midnight, giving him a Muslim burial, having no witnesses and no DNA and no photographs, and it's just, there doesn't seem to be any end to the nonsense. But tonight we're going to present what I feel is a very rational, sensible, sane, cohesive case for proving that Obama's government is actually doing these things that we claim that he is doing. We've had Dr. Jim Garrow as a guest on the show many times before, and he has corroborated all of what we have said, and he's even introduced things that we hadn't even considered before. And if you're a regular listener to this show, then you know that these things have been going on for some time. So tonight we're going to attempt to pull back the curtain, and we're going to see how much of this stuff we can actually prove, how much we can actually show. But I think you know that we're going to be able to prove 99.9% of it here tonight, because it really is happening. I had a comment. I had made a post. Let me just pull up this comment. I posted on a Facebook page called Aloha Bible Prophecy out in Hawaii. Great End Times King James Bible Prophecy Facebook page. And I posted and I said, we exposed the federal government's plan for your life in the new America. FEMA camps, guillotines, and a 500,000 plastic coffins. And a woman named Arlene wrote this. She said, you know, I've been hearing about these guillotines since I started to study eschatology over 20 years ago. Now, eschatology is just a fancy word for the study of end times things, you know, like the Left Behind series books and Clarence Larkin's Doctrinal Truth and Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth and all these books which are focused on the things that have to do with the timing of the end, the pre-tribulation rapture, the seven-year, or depending on what school of thought that you're in, the three-and-a-half-year tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the Great White Throne Judgment, and all these things have to do with eschatology. So she said that she sees these type of shows, like the one that we're doing tonight, talking about guillotines. She says that she sees it as more fear-mongering, made-to-sell books and or survival gear. We are not here for the tribulation. She's very right when she says that. We need to focus on looking for Jesus, not the Antichrist, and what he's going to do. And a woman named Lorna also posted, and she said, true, Arlene, but things like the guillotines means that the rapture is ever so close. The more that we hear stories about the things that will be part of the tribulation, the more that we know that it's time to go home. And that's exactly what Pastor Peacock at our church preaches as well, that we are not here for the tribulation. We do believe and teach a a pre-tribulation rapture. We believe that while the tribulation is going on down on the earth, we believe that we will be up at the judgment seat of Christ and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all these things will be going on in heaven with the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, while down on earth, the tribulation's going on. But it's important. It's part of the Bible. It's not written for the church. But there's a lot of wisdom and insight and spiritual understanding that we can gain from studying things that even if they don't belong to our dispensation. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And it's not just going to be, I think that you guys know by now, this is not going to be a fear-mongering, trying to get you needlessly scared and have you looking for, you know, the New World Order police behind every single bush and lamppost. This show is about the truth. It's about sane, rational approaches to very complex things. And of course, Now the End Begins was started because we, you know, in all of these headlines that we talk about, the guillotines, the plastic coffins, the FEMA camps, we're going to attempt to relate all of this back to God's preserved word, the King James Bible. So we're glad that you're with us tonight. We had a great time preaching out in the street yesterday. We handed out over 1,100 tracts. The St. George Street was just filled. It was just filled with people. And the Lord is really blessing that ministry. And please just keep us in your prayers. We have a great, great core group of people. Brother Jimmy, Brother Jonathan, Brother Craig, Brother Steve, myself, Miss Bonnie, and a really great core group of people. We'd like to invite you, wherever you may be in the country, we'd like to invite you to come down to St. Augustine and on the Saturday afternoon, join us and hand out some tracts with us. Listen to the preaching and just get involved where the Lord is really doing a good work. So Trent told me yesterday that he wants to come down and visit. I was visited yesterday by Raylene Protherio and her daughter Dawn. And the invitation, Jackie Kalman, will be coming down in Jackie, I think it's the second week of August, and I hope that you're timing it so that you can be here when Dr. Ruckman is at our church giving his annual revival preaching. The last week of August. So if you're a regular listener to the show and you want to come down to St. Augustine in Florida and join us on the battlefield for the Lord, you are more than welcome to do so. We would love to have you. We'll put you to work on the battlefield for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on the show tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're just in awe that you give us this platform, worldwide platform. People right now are listening all over the country and all over the world. And Lord, we're humbled by that and we thank you. And it's all for your glory, God. We're not doing this. This is not a business. We're not doing this to make money. We're not really selling things. We are simply telling people about your son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is preparing to snatch us up and out of here, as Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, please let your Holy Spirit be with us here tonight, and let the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up all around the world for the next 2 hours, Lord. Brother Craig always reminds me, Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And we thank you, Lord, that you would let us redeem just a few hours of our time tonight, Lord. And we want to get something from you. We're willing to give up the baseball game and the basketball game, and we're willing to give up the foolishness on TV. And we want to meet around the internet tonight, Lord. Your word says that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Lord, there may be 200 or 300 tonight. And we just thank you, God. We thank you. You're a good God and you give us good things. And we're just so grateful. There's food on the table. There's clothes on our back and there's a roof over our head. And there's a song in our hearts because we are redeemed, Lord, by your shed blood. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness to us, Lord. And we just say it all in Jesus' precious name.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free. God leads his children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child's feet. Lead his children, leave them alone. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leaves them alone. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but it always gives them a song. At the end of night season, and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood. Let him take you through fire, and we all must go through the blood. Won't you let him take you through great sorrow? He'll always give you a song. And it's
In the night, sorry for the little gap of silence there. I'm Skyping it in tonight, and I'm still learning how to work the controls. So just bear with me as I learn how to do it through the Skype and not through the phone. I don't know if the sound quality is better tonight. Let me see in the chat room if the sound quality of my voice is better or worse or the same. Just let me know. I want to read a letter, a fan letter tonight. This is from Elizabeth, writes in, and I don't know where she's from. She didn't say where she's from, but she writes in and she says this: Dear NTEB, I am so glad that I found your website. All of what has been said is so true. It amazes me how people just don't want to understand what is going on. All I can say is, my God, have mercy on them all. The Bible is true to what it says. Please send me your newsletter. Thank you so much, and God bless you. You know, almost every day now we get emails from people from here in America, from Europe, from Asia, from Australia, from South Africa. We get from the Middle East. We get emails from all over the world of people writing in saying that somebody referred them to our site, and they get there and they see all the biblical information that we have there, all the teaching about the doctrines of eternal security and the pre-tribulation rapture, and how people get saved, and Christian living, and there's just so many things that we've taught on. We're very, very grateful that you use Now the End Begins as a resource, and we are always looking to make it bigger. We're always looking to make it better. And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to equip the saints in these last days as the pressure gets higher and higher. You know, the book of Daniel says that in the end times that the devil will seek to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what goes on in the end times. And that is the type of persecution that we can expect to receive here in America. This isn't China. This isn't some far-flung third world country. This is America. And we have been used to having a very high level of freedom, being able to assemble wherever and whenever we'd like to. And that's what we've gotten used to. But as you're going to see on the show tonight, that may soon be coming to an end. We have been reporting on Obama's shenanigans for the past 3.5 years now. And it doesn't get better, it gets worse. And way back early on, the first article that I ever wrote for the website was called A Love Letter to America. And you know what? If it's all right with you guys, I would just, it's not long at all, but I would like to read this to you guys. Just read it out loud, and just to remind you of how Adolf Hitler started. And it's true, Obama hasn't built any concentration camps that are open yet, but tonight we're going to talk about FEMA camps. And you're going to see that there's very, very little difference between a FEMA camp and a concentration camp. In fact, they are one and the same. Obama didn't start FEMA camps. They've been being under construction since the days of Ronald Reagan. And they're about to break out in the time of Barack Obama. It's been festering and building and boiling for many, many years now, many decades now. And it looks like that Obama is the particular presidential puppet that the New World Order is going to use to introduce this system to the world. So let me just read to you the first thing that I ever wrote for Now the End Begins, and I'll put the link in the chat room. A lot of you have already read it. We've already talked about it. It's called A Love Letter to America. And here's the link in the chat room. And let me just read it to you. I start the article off with a quote from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that has been is the thing which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. And here's the story. It's 1932. And in economically ravaged Germany, a charismatic new figure arrives from out of nowhere and onto the political scene. Almost overnight, it seems, he is rebuilding roads. He creates the Autobahn. He builds hospitals and schools. He is photographed kissing babies. Men want to serve him. Women are swooning in the aisles when he gives his fiery speeches. He is the one that Germany has been waiting for. Well, I turn to you and I warn you about what he is really like and about his evil intentions. You look at me as an intolerant bigot. You say that I must not like Austrians. I must be a racist. You say that it's not my place to judge. How can I know what's in his mind? You try and debate with me, but soon grow tired of my seemingly endless diatribe against Hitler. One day, you report me to the government and they take me away for processing and re-education. I am never seen or heard from ever again. Part of you feels bad, but another part of you feels like you've done your country a service by having a hindrance to the national progress removed. Well, time marches on and soon all of Germany bristles with a newfound pride and energy. Germany is the envy of the world, but something doesn't seem quite right. Many of your neighbors have been disappearing, and others have been branded with a yellow star. But you hear your leader give another speech, and national pride swells within you. It's 1938 now, and there are rumors of camps where Jews and other undesirables are being taken. Some even say that they smell strange smoke coming out of the smokestacks. Some even whisper that it's a campaign from your leader against the impure races that have polluted your proud nation. You recoil in fear and then banish the thought from your mind. How can people be so intolerant, you wonder? Can they not see how this man has done great things for Germany? Why can't we all just get along and support his effort? They must be racist, you think within yourself. They must hate Austrians with an irrational hatred. How can people say such things about a man that they don't know personally? Then one day, there is a knock on your door. German soldiers with an order to take you, a homosexual, to Auschwitz for processing as an undesirable. In one sickening flash, you realize that the whispers were true. That I was right when I tried to warn you all those years ago. As they slide you alive into the ovens in Auschwitz, and you feel the blazing hot metal sear and scorch your skin, you cry out, why didn't anyone stop this? Today, Barack Hussein Obama stands at the starting point where Adolf Hitler once did. And because the mass majority of people refuse to see the warning signs, he will continue to create his nationalist socialist regime. Once it is in place, it will be too late. The deed will be done. So we choose sides, you and I. I have chosen to oppose him as the evil man that I know he is. I know that from the mightiest oak tree rose up from a once impossibly insignificant acorn. I don't need to wait until the concentration camps are built to take action, and you can call me racist, intolerant, bigot, a hater, and that won't faze or bother me one bit. I am only trying to warn you and your children and your loved ones. I have learned the lessons from the Holocaust. One day you'll call me a prophet. One day you'll thank me for being brave and being bold and willing to take an unpopular stand. One day you will see that I opposed a renegade socialist and not a black man. And until that day, you choose your side and I'll choose mine. That was the very first article that I ever wrote for Now the End Begins. And that is about 3 years ago that I wrote that. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that is more true today than it was then. He has revealed himself to be more like the Antichrist now than he did 3 years ago, than he did 5 years ago. Now, I am not calling him the Antichrist, but I am saying, and I have said many times before, he absolutely has the spirit of Antichrist. He gave this speech at Planned Parenthood a couple of months ago, and he stood up in front of the happy, gleeful murderers who kill 1.5 million babies in America every 12 months, and to a enthusiastic, swooning, cheering, clapping audience, he promised them that the blood would never stop flowing from Planned Parenthood as long as he was president. He said that it would be forever paid from taxpayer dollars. Now, if that is not the spirit of, first of all, he's a liar, because when he ran for president back in 2008, he swore up and down that he would never use taxpayer money to fund abortions with his Obamacare. And that's exactly what he's done. And so at the very least, he's a liar. But that spirit of Antichrist that proudly and happily announces that the blood will continue to flow, that the blood of dead babies will continue to flow as long as he is president. I mean, think about that for a second. Is that something to cheer about? Is that something to applaud? Is that something to be fist pumping in the air like you're at a rock concert talking about the death of American citizens? Well, that's why we say, that's why I say that he has the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the day may come when I will declare him, in my opinion, to be the Antichrist. That day has not arrived yet, but we're a whole lot closer to that day, 4.5 years into his regime, than we were when we started. And he does creepier and creepier and scarier things as more time ticks on. So, to answer the statement that Arlene made on the Facebook page that I talked about at the start of the show, if it's true that the church is taken out in the pre-tribulation rapture, and that is true, and we have had many, many, many shows and articles and Bible studies, and we have shown that over and over and over and over. And if you just want to argue about the timing of the rapture, here is what my suggestion for you is. Why don't you go start your own website? Why don't you go start your own Facebook page? And why don't you go start your own radio show and gather a following and teach what you believe to those people? But on this program, we stand proudly and firmly and securely on the fact that we feel that the Bible teaches the pre-tribulation rapture. We don't want to to argue that. We don't really even want to debate that. It's almost like debating salvation in Jesus Christ. There's really not much point to it. If you don't believe, you don't believe, and that's fine. But the point that I'm trying to make is, if it's true that the church is taken out before the tribulation ever starts, then why on this show do we spend so much time talking about the spirit of Antichrist and Barack Obama and all the nonsense that's going on? Well, I'll tell you why that we do that. We do it because if you're like me, you have some friends and loved ones who are not saved right now. And part of what Now the End Begins has to be, it has to be a library for people who don't make the rapture and they are left behind in the tribulation. And I want to leave something behind for those people who don't make it. This is not simply about increasing our own Bible knowledge. I think that the website, if the rapture was to happen tonight, I think that the website could stay up for at least a short period of time. And these links have been shared so many hundreds of thousands of times, if not millions of times, that the information has really spread out there pretty far and wide. This radio program with the archive would probably stay up for, well, almost indefinitely. So that's what we're trying to do with this program, and I hope that answers your question. If you're wondering why we spend the amount of time that we do on a time period that we won't be here for, because we're trying to have compassion on the lost people who won't make the rapture. Now, the Bible fairly clearly teaches that because they receive not the love of the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and that they all might be damned. So you could read those verses. I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, but you could make a fairly strong case that if you rejected the gospel in the age of grace, God will seal your conscience with a hot iron and you'll believe a lie and you won't be able to get saved in the time of the tribulation. Okay? There is, that's a fairly strong case that you can make from the Bible. And that should scare you. That should really, really, really scare you, because if you're like me, you have loved ones who have heard the gospel, have rejected the gospel. And if that application from Thessalonians is true, when the tribulation comes, they won't get saved because God said that they will believe a lie. So that's pretty scary stuff. So that's why that we spend as much time as we do talking about things that really don't apply to our dispensation. Rue just posted the verse from 2 Thessalonians 2, and it says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, that to me makes a pretty good case that people who reject the gospel in the age of grace won't be able to receive it in the tribulation, because God said that he's sending them a strong delusion. Either way that you slice that, that's not good, and that's very, very scary stuff. Now, Trent says, if that's true, how can there be tribulation saints? Well, Trent, the main thing you have to remember is in the tribulation, God does what? He raises up 144,000 male virgin Jews, right? Now, if I've never been to Israel, but from the people that I know that I talk to on the phone who live in Israel, Israel is largely atheist. They don't believe the New Testament. A whole lot of them don't believe the Old Testament. The LGBT has made great, great, great progress there. And it's not a very spiritual place unless you're talking about the history of Israel. Christians go there, and for them, it's a very, very spiritual thing. And there are those Jews who do believe the Old Testament, but most of the Jews that I know personally do not believe or follow either testament. And atheism and agnosticism is extremely high in Israel right now. So God is going to raise up 144,000 male virgin Jews. There's not 144,000 male virgin Jews in Israel right now, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. So when you really think about that and you really study that, I believe that it's quite possible that those 144,000 Jews that God is going to raise up might just be supernatural. The two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, they come back. That's supernatural. The tribulation is going to be a time for supernatural things to be happening. We do not live in a supernatural age. The Bible says that the Christians in the age of grace, we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. Supernatural miracles and signs and wonders, that's not faith. That's something you can see. That's by sight. It is not for our dispensation. Now, I leave all this information on the website and the radio program and the Facebook page because I really don't know who's going to be able to receive the gospel in the tribulation and who's not going to be able to receive it. That's not for me to know. That's something for the Holy Spirit to know. So we put the information out there. We leave it all out there. And whoever gets it, gets it. And all that we're doing is we're following what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us to do. He's very good to us. We get to see some of the results of our labors. And when people write into us from all over the world and they say, your ministry has changed my life. I had no eternal security and now I do because I've listened to your program. And isn't it a sad thing when there's entire ministries that are out there, so-called Christian ministries that are devoted to stealing the salvation from saved people? Have you ever wondered about that? Pastors and so-called Bible teachers who stand up and say you can lose your salvation, even though the Bible says that a Christian in the age of grace can't, that we're sealed into the day of redemption. And doesn't it strike you as funny that so many people who claim to be Christian Bible teachers spend a disproportionate amount of time trying to convince you that you can lose your salvation? It makes me laugh, but there's really nothing funny about it. It's just sad. It's just very, very sad. Now, Debbie in the chat room is recommending a book by Dr. Peter Ruckman called The Mark of the Beast. And let me just say this about Dr. Ruckman and his writings. I highly recommend anything that he has written. He is one of the greatest Bible teachers of the 20th century. And you can learn an unbelievable amount about the Bible from Dr. Ruckman's teachings. He's in Pensacola, Florida. His website is Bible Believer. No, it's KJV1611.org. But I highly recommend anything that's written by Dr. Ruckman. He's coming to our church in a few weeks. He's going to hold a revival as he does every single year. He's going to be 92 this November, and yet he's still preaching. He's going to come and preach 5 services and do chalk talks. He's just amazing. Just please pray and just that the Lord would keep him strong. Jeanette just posted in the chat room that you have no eternal salvation after the rapture. You have to stay by faith and works. Jeanette, you are 100% correct. We are in the age of grace right now. Grace is unmerited favor. We get a gift that we don't deserve. We are the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, God does something for our dispensation that he has done for no other. He has not done this before us, and he is not going to do it after us. Not until eternity will such an unbelievable time exist as the age of grace for the New Testament Bible believer. You can't lose your salvation, and the reason why you can't lose it is because you don't have it in your hands. It's his salvation. He holds it, and he holds you. The Bible says that we are bone of his bone, we are flesh of his flesh. The New Testament says that we are already seated in heavenly places. Okay, Ephesians Rue, if you could just post Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. And we're going to get to the Obama stuff in a few minutes, but you know what? It is always good to go over these things, these doctrines of the faith, these essentials of the faith, and why do we know that we believe what we believe? Because it's true. Ephesians 1, 13, and 14 says that after you have believed, you have been sealed, and I'm paraphrasing now, but this is as much as I can recall from memory, you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the day of our redemption. The reason why you can't lose your salvation is not because you're good boys and girls, not because you hand out tracts or go preaching, not because you tithe 20% of your paycheck. The reason why you can't lose your salvation is because Jesus holds it in his hand where he holds us. And let me just show you something from John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, which talks about eternal security. And in John 10, Jesus is talking about those who are in his hands and those who are in the Father's hands. And then he tells you the relationship of his hands and his dad's hands. And he says this, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." If you have your paper Bible open, why don't you highlight that? John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, there you have Jesus Christ saying that if you are in him, in this dispensation, in the age of grace, redeemed by his shed blood, he says you are safe in his hand, and no man can pluck you out of his hand. And do you know what, that means? When he says no man, that means no one that you know. That includes you too. He said no man. That means you can't pluck yourself out of his hand. He says no man. So either we believe the Bible or we don't. But you know, it's sad. It's very, very sad. I know lots of people who are Bible teachers on the internet. They have a ministry, and one by one, they all have started to turn against the doctrine of eternal security because they don't understand what Jesus did on the cross. Because if you really know what he did on that cross, and if you really know what he did when he rose from the grave, do you know what Jesus says about how he rose from the grave? He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it back up again," he says, "of his own power." That's the God that we serve. He is so strong that even when he's dead, he is still strong enough to raise himself. He raised himself from the dead. That's what Jesus said. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it up again. Well, when you get a hold of that and you realize that's the God that we serve, and that same Jesus Christ says, no man can snatch you out of my hand. Do you know what the basis on which that he's making that claim? He's saying, if I am strong enough to raise myself from the dead, I am strong enough to keep you saved even when you fall by the wayside. Jesus says, I am strong enough because I can raise myself from the dead. I am strong enough to keep you eternally secure regardless of how you live your life. Now, if you don't live your life for the Lord, you're going to get clobbered at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, absolutely clobbered. And you're going to shed real tears in heaven. Okay? That I guarantee you that will happen. But your salvation has nothing to do with the judgment seat of Christ. The two are completely separate from each other. Your salvation and sin has been dealt with at Calvary and at the empty tomb. But your sanctification and your rewards or the lack thereof at the judgment seat of Christ, that is something that you work towards. Rue just posted John 10:17. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now get this, John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That sends actual chills down my spine. I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus says that he raised himself from the grave. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again, because his Father gave him that power. He says in another place, all power under heaven and earth has been given to me. And Jesus Christ is so all-powerful that even when in his human form they put him to death on the cross, he has power to take his life again and to literally raise himself from the dead by his own power. Now, we have a show tonight to talk about the 30,000 guillotines and the 500,000 plastic coffins. And we're going to talk about the FEMA camps. I promise you. And for those of you who are unsaved and that have tuned in because you want the conspiracy theory, I feel for you guys. This has got to be rough for you to hear us slobber all over the name of Jesus Christ because we love him so much. But just let me tell you something. The Lord has answered one of my greatest prayers. My children are saved and they're headed for heaven. So my greatest prayer that I've been praying in the last couple of years, basically ever since I got to Bible Believers Baptist Church and began to sit under Pastor Peacock's teaching, and I began to really have in me a burning desire to be unplugged from the world system, still be able to make a living because I have to pay for kids, I got to put food on the table and all that stuff. But the Lord has answered one of my greatest prayers, which was to be unplugged, still be able to make some money, still be able to take care of myself, and to be in his service on an on-demand basis as he needs me. And it looks like he is answering that prayer for me in my life now. So many of you have been praying for me, and I appreciate that so very much. And God has sent me so many angels. I mean, when I say angels, I mean flesh and blood people. But so many angels in my life who just have been unbelievably great and attending to my needs when my ability to supply those things for myself was removed. And God has sustained me unbelievably. And it looks like that he is opening up a revenue stream for me that I can work basically as my own boss and be in service of the Lord Jesus Christ full time. We have to see how that develops. Keep praying about it. But last week made some very, very big strides in that direction. And I'm just excited to see what he's going to do with me. But let me tell you something. And I promise you that right after this, we'll start talking about the FEMA camps. But brothers and sisters, believe me when I tell you, with all my heart, I believe everything that the Bible says, even the stuff that I don't understand, which is a lot of it, most of it, but the parts of it that the Lord lets me get, like eternal security, the pre-tribulation rapture, the blood atonement, sanctification, justification, all that stuff about Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord lets me get a handle on that. He lets me see Jesus all through the Bible. He, 23 years ago, he showed me my need for a savior, a sinless savior. And I was telling a good brother today at lunchtime, I said, if I could go back, and he was 25, and I turned to him and said, Brother Jonathan, if I could go back and talk to myself when I was 25, if the 52-year-old me could go back and talk to the 25-year-old me, this is what I'd say. And this is what I told Brother Jonathan and Brother Steve today. I said, if I could talk to my younger self, I would say, dump it all and serve the Lord. Let me repeat that for you. If I could talk to my 25-year-old self, I would say, dump it all and serve the Lord. And to each one of you who tune in faithfully, unbelievably faithfully, I was telling Brett right before the show started, I told Brother Steve that we hit a milestone this week. Tuesday will be the 2-year anniversary of this radio broadcast, 2 years. And this week, this past week, we have passed 250,000 listens to this radio program. Can you believe that? This program has been listened to well over 250,000 times in 2 years. And I think that's a miracle. I really do. We have no funding. We have no real advertising. We talk about hardcore doctrines of the Bible. We lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all that, as narrow of a show as that is, we still get over 250,000 listens that the Lord has given us. So I just wanted to share that with you guys and to remind you that every time that you share this radio program with somebody, and every time that you share one of the links from Now the End and begins.com, you share that with a friend, either through text message or an email or Facebook post or whatever, it leads them to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ, however imperfectly, is being lifted up on a daily basis. And each one of you who pray for us, who support this ministry, who do so much to just make sure that this thing keeps going. The Bible says that you all have a part of it in whatever the rewards that this ministry gets at the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of you who are a faithful part of this ministry get a piece of that at the judgment seat of Christ. At least that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what I would tell my 25-year-old self if I could talk to him. I would say, dump it all and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and get something done for eternity. That's what I would tell him. And that's what I tell you. All right, we're going to play a song. And when we come back, we are going to dive knee deep, chest high, right up to the eyeballs in the junk that Obama is preparing for this country. And we are going to get a little bit of a taste of the coming great tribulation. And then at the end of the show, we're going to rejoice for a few minutes that our names are already written in heaven. and that he's going to come. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll end the show tonight, with the rapture. But when we come back from this song, 30,000 guillotines, 1,000 FEMA camps, 500,000 plastic coffins, and Obama has his signature on every one of them. We'll be right back in 4 minutes and 7 seconds. Stay with us. Don't go away. If you're just tuning in, tonight's topic, Obama's feds have prepared 30,000 guillotines, 1,000 FEMA camps, and 500,000 plastic coffins. Is it true? Is it just sensationalistic headlines designed to get you to listen to this radio show? Well, that's what we're going to find out tonight. We're going to find out if this is just sensationalism or there is some basis in truth. And as we always try and do in this show, we research things that we talk about to a very high degree. We always have links in all of our stories to legitimate stories. So that's what we're going to attempt to show you tonight, the truth of the guillotines, the FEMA camps, the plastic coffins. Is it true? Is it not true? So let us first start with just scanning the headlines on drudgereport.com right now and just see what they're talking about. The top story is Mr. Snowden, who was the NSA leak of a few weeks ago. He has decided to run, and Obama's feds have canceled his passport, and they are saying that he needs to be extradited back to America, and they are going to try him for treason for exposing Obama's nastiness. That's what they're going to attempt to do. Obama wants to try Mr. Snowden for treason to America for opening the covers on what Obama's agencies have been doing. And he is very upset. He's very angry. And it really just shows the evil spirit that is so prevalent in America today. Can you imagine if any other president, especially a Republican, would have been hit with these types of scandals one after the other? Benghazi, Department of Justice, IRS, NSA, all this stuff. And his approval rate is still 45 to 48%. Shouldn't that baffle you that he has five scandals going on all at the same time, and he is relaxed and he is composed? He just took a $100 million trip to Ireland where he wasted tens of millions of dollars of borrowed from the Chinese, but he calls it taxpayer money, but it's all borrowed from the Chinese. He is not the least bit worried about five concurrent scandals at the same time. So ask yourself, the first question you have to ask yourself is, why is he not worried about any of these scandals? Cindy just said, didn't he also go to Africa on a safari? Yes. He started out in Ireland and then went over Europe, went to Germany, and then he went to Africa. And so far, the price tag for his little jaunt has exceeded $100 million. His wife's entourage stays in five-star hotels, and they are like people with a stolen ATM card or someone who has won the lottery, and they just have no end to how they are willing to plunder the American economy. But the main thing that I want you to keep in mind is that as he's dealing with scandals, that any one of which would have sunk any other president, and he has five of them going on at the same time, he's calm and relaxed. He's cool as a cucumber, because he knows what he has planned for this country, and he knows what he has in his back pocket. So he's not the least bit worried. So an interesting thing with the Snowden case is he might be going to Russia, and Senor Putin over in Russia looks like he's going to be welcoming Mr. Snowden with open arms, and the dynamic there will just get really, really interesting very, very quickly, because obviously Russia and America are enemies on many, many levels, and Putin has no love for the American people. The only thing that he's would be gaining by welcoming Snowden was to rub salt into the wounds of Obama. So if I was Snowden, if, you know, he's going from a country that's trying to try him for treason to another country that hates America and hates Americans. So he's basically as good as dead. But in the meantime, just pray for his salvation, because he's going to need all the help that he can get. And it won't be long before Mr. Snowden disappears permanently. So it should be very interesting to see how this whole thing will begin to play out when it goes into the end stages. So I want to start tonight with a story that we reported on Friday. And within 24 hours, this particular story was shared over 11,000 times on Facebook. Now, we've had lots of stories that have been shared more than 11,000 times, but it's very rare that we get a story that is shared that many times in that short of a span of time. And this story, the headline of it is, retired FBI agent told Patriot groups that Obama's feds have set up 30,000 guillotines. Now, we talked about in the earlier part of the show, we told you I read the post from that woman who said that she's been studying end times prophecy for a long, long time now, and they've been talking about the guillotines, it seemed to her, for about 20 years. Now, Cindy asks, why do they need so many guillotines? Well, there's 350 million people in this country, Cindy. So to have 30,000 guillotines, that's really not that many. 30,000 times, well, you know, that's a lot of guillotines, but I don't think it's more than what that they would need once they started the wholesale slaughtering. You have to remember that in Auschwitz and all the different various concentration camps, they had those crematoriums firing 24 hours a day around the clock, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of those crematoriums, maybe hundreds of them, and they just they operated every waking and sleeping moment of the day. So this man that I want to talk to you about tonight, he is a retired FBI agent. He served in the FBI for 21 years. And I want to read this Bible verse from Revelation 20, verse 4 to you. People say, in our high-tech age and all the technology that we have and all the stuff that we have going on, it seems a little too old-fashioned for some people to have the barbaric idea of guillotines. And somebody said to me last week, where do you get those crazy ideas? Well, this is the Bible show. I get that crazy idea from Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, talking about tribulation saints. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So one thing you have to remember, that even though that we live in a highly technological age, the book of Revelation says that in the tribulation, it's going to be old school all the way. Now, we have taught many times on the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we talk about the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, which comes out to be 490 years. And we don't have time to revisit that tonight, but just suffice to say that the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy, each year is a day, okay? The last 7 years of Daniel's 490 prophetic years, that's the time of the Great Tribulation. And when Jesus went to the cross in Daniel, it said, and Messiah shall be cut off and not for himself. When Jesus went to the cross, Daniel's prophetical time clock was stopped, kind of like you're listening to a CD player and you just simply hit the two bars on the pause button and the CD doesn't turn off. It just pauses. it's not even stopping so much as it is, it's pausing. Well, when Jesus went to the cross, Daniel's prophetical weeks of years of the Old Testament, they were paused. They for the time being, they have ceased to go forward. So far we've had a 2,000 year pause button on Daniel's 490 weeks of prophecy. But when the rapture happens, that's when God's going to hit the play button. And do you know what's going to happen when God hits the play button? Daniel's last week, whatever's left of Daniel's last week, some people say 7 years, some people teach that the first 3.5 years of his last week have already transpired. However you look at it, it really doesn't matter how you look at it, but however you look at it, when the rapture happens, it's God pushing the play button on Daniel's prophecy, and the Old Testament is going to come to life. I want you guys to grasp that. This whole 2,000-year time period will be removed as if it never existed. The temple will be rebuilt. It will be the Antichrist temple. But there will be a third Jewish temple built in Jerusalem. All of the items for that temple have already been constructed. They've already been built. They exist in a warehouse right now in Israel. I've been to the website. I've seen those things. And right in the shadow of the Wailing Wall, there's this whole company which has spent the last 30 years rebuilding all the clothes and the objects of worship and all those things from the coming third temple. They're ready. They're all set and ready to go. And all that the Jews are waiting for is for the rapture. Now, they don't know they're waiting for this, but they are just waiting for the next sign, and their sign is going to be the rapture when everybody is left behind who's not saved, and what's going to happen is God is going to hit the play button on the pause part of it, and Daniel's last week is going to proceed, and it's going to be the Old Testament come to life. In the Old Testament, the preferred means of execution were twofold. They were crucifixion and it was beheading. That's how the Apostle Paul died. That's how James died. That's how John the Baptist died, right? Jeanette just said that we are the bump in the road. That's right. We are the bump in the road, but it's a bump that's been around for 2,000 years. So that's why I put Revelation 20 verse 4 with the article about the guillotines, because the book of Revelation says that beheading will be the preferred means of execution. Now, let me read a little bit of the story to you. Shortly before his death in 2011, former FBI agent Ted Gunderson had this to say to patriot groups across America, and he said this in 2009. The story was originally posted on the Southern Poverty Law Center website, and it goes like this. In Pensacola, Florida, in 2009, retired FBI agent Ted Gunderson tells a gathering of anti-government patriots that the federal government has set up 1,000 internment camps across the country and is storing 30,000 guillotines and 500,000 caskets in Atlanta. He says that they're there for the day when the federal government finally declares martial law and moves in to round up or kill American dissenters. Gunderson warns they are going to keep track of all of us. Now, we had Dr. Jim Garrow on this show twice in the last couple of months. And Dr. Jim Garrow was the man, if you remember the quote that he had, and let me just pull it up for you, Dr. Jim Garrow, and it's called his litmus test quote, and this is what Dr. Jim said. He said, the new litmus test of leadership in the military is if they will fire on U.S. citizens or not. Those who will not are being removed. Dr. Jim Garrow said that on January 21st. And shortly after that, I contacted Dr. Jim and asked him to be a guest on the show, and he's been on twice. Okay, Jeanette is asking for a link. Just give me 2 seconds, and I'll be happy to produce that link for you. Dr. Jim, very, very sane, rational, sober man, and when he stood up and made that comment, it just busted things wide open. Now, here's a guy who has a very successful business. He's international. He lives in Canada. He loves America. He loves Americans. He's a saved Christian. I've had many conversations with him about his salvation and about he believes that the rapture is coming and all that stuff. For a man like that, who is very heavily connected with American military leaders, American political leaders, he is pretty high up there. For him to make that statement is an amazing thing. And he came on the show and he talked to us about it. And he was told this by a retired, I think it was a 4 or 5 star general, who told him that that is the litmus test that Obama is asking American military leaders. Now, Barbara says that she doesn't trust anything that Snopes.com has to say. You should never trust Snopes.com because they were created by a financial grant from none other than George Soros. They have just enough truth on that site so that you're tempted to believe them. And then when they hook you in with partial truth, then they clobber you with out and out lies. Let no one fool you. Snopes.com is funded by George Soros, and it is an outlet of the hardcore far left liberal media. Don't believe a word that you read on Snopes.com. It is 100% false. So let's get back to the story with Ted Gunderson. He said that he saw these things. He said that he saw and read about the FEMA camps. He said that he saw and he read about the 30,000 guillotines. And what's interesting is he said in 2009, he said that that there were all these coffins, 500,000 plastic coffins in Atlanta, Georgia. So what's now, I'm looking for this story. I just want to pull it up for you guys. Really, really great story that we did a couple of months ago. We did this story on somebody had photographed all the coffins that were being transported on a train transport through Georgia. And let me just find this story here. And Ted Gunderson died 2 years ago. And 6 months ago, we reported on the plastic coffins in Georgia, which is an amazing thing. So people say to me, do I believe his story? I absolutely believe his story, because in the 2 years since he has passed away, everything that he has been talking about, that he spoke about to the Patriot Group then, has been coming true. So why wouldn't you believe him? And the story that we posted on with the coffins, the story was largely pictures, because Obama and his group are so confident that they can get away with this, that they are hiding less and less and less, and they've really come out in the open now. And here it is. I'm going to post this in the chat room. It is, the title of the article is Photo Proof of FEMA Coffins Moved Northbound on Georgia Highway, Possibly Being Moved to Chicago, which would be ironically funny if these coffins were being sent to Chicago, the Chicago way, and Obama and his thugs preparing coffins in Chicago would just be very funny to me. So here's the story in the chat room, and I want you to look at that story. Now, we posted this story a couple of months ago, and it says, when the driver of this truck noticed the photographer taking pictures, he immediately pulled off the highway. Okay, so it wasn't a train, it was a truck. And you see the coffins, and they're stacked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They are stacked about 12 or 13 coffins high, and they could easily hold one, if not two, human bodies. And there are hundreds of thousands of these coffins. And the person who posted the picture said this: thank you for posting on this forum. I was the photographer. This picture was taken on Highway 85 northbound, 2 miles from Elberton, Georgia. It is absolutely true. I blew past the truck doing 82 miles per hour. My taillights were even with the front of the rig's cab when it occurred to me what they were. I slammed on my brakes to let the rig pass. As I pulled out my BlackBerry and positioned for the shot, the driver looked in his side view mirror and slammed on his brakes. He then banked right to exit the highway onto an exit ramp towards Elberton. I could not operate the manual transmission, save the shot, and maneuver my vehicle to follow, but he says that he was able to get this shot before the truck went out of his sight. Now, I want to remind you that former FBI agent Ted Gunderson said a year and a half before that picture was taken, he said to the Patriot Group in Pensacola, Florida, in 2011, he said, there are plastic coffins in Georgia. And a year and a half after the man died, I was able to find a picture and create a story and to post that. So I give great credence to the things that Ted said, because it sure looked like he knew what he was talking about. Now, as far as these FEMA camps go, that is a very, very, very easily researched thing. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about this. Here's an article that we did back in January, and the title was this. Now, here, let me see if I can find this clip for you. I hope that I have it in my magic bags of tricks here. Let me just see if it's here. I want to remind you, where is it? Do I have it? I don't think I do. But you know that clip where Obama says, he says that we need to have a private army and it needs to be just as well funded as the regular military, which, you know, that's an amazing, amazing. Let's see if this is the clip. This might not be it. Let me see.
Generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick. And good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the ocean began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth.
Now, that was not the clip, but boy, you talk about somebody with a Messiah complex thinking that he's running to heal the world and to slow the rise of the oceans. I mean, man, somebody like that is deluded to a very, very high degree. But this story here, Obama quietly launches new FEMA Youth Corps division with 240 inductees. He said when he was running for president that we needed a private army that was just as well funded. And this story, it got a lot of play for us, but a lot of people don't know about this story. Obama has formed, just like Hitler did with his Hitler Youth, he's formed a Obama FEMA Youth Corps division with 240 inductees. It says here, a historic new collaboration between two federal agencies to strengthen the nation's disaster response capabilities was launched today as the nation's first 240 FEMA Corps members were sworn into service in an induction ceremony in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And it says, FEMA Corps is an innovative partnership between FEMA and the Corporation for National and Community Service to enhance disaster response. And let's see here. Within that article, I have the video of the clip of Obama saying that we have to have a private army that's just as well funded. And he is on many, many levels. He is creating his private army, and he's doing it day by day by day. And it's really, really quite scary. All this past year, we've been reporting on the 1.6 billion hollow point bullets that the Obama Department of Homeland Security has purchased. And we've talked about how he's using the IRS to force people to sign up for Obamacare. And the IRS, we reported last year, purchased 7,000 AR-15 rifles to go with these billions of rounds of hollow point bullets. And all in the last 12 to 18 months, we have done story after story like this one. And I'm just going to read it to you. Obama prepares citizens for martial law by authorizing simulated military invasion in South Florida. From the Miami Herald. There is the thunderous whoop-whoop of low-flying helicopters and even the jarring blast of explosions at the abandoned Grand Bay Hotel in Coconut Grove early Tuesday during a military training exercise that jolted many unsuspected residents from their beds. Jane Muir said it was quite a shocking experience. She was awakened at 1:45 in the morning by the sound of military choppers that later dropped repelling soldiers onto the Grand Bay's rooftop. It was the kind of bizarre feeling that you were surrounded by the wind. From her third floor balcony, Miss Muir then watched the soldiers fire off flares and smoke bombs before searching floor by floor through the darkened hotel, their paths marked by flashlights and the pop, pop, pop of gunshots. The show of force, she said, on Channel 7 in Miami, Florida, was overwhelming. The Army explains it this way. The maneuvers were part of a realistic urban training exercise for 100 military personnel and organized by the U.S. Special Ops Command, said Major Michael Burns, a U.S. Army spokesperson. The exercise also included three military helicopters and the use of simulated explosions and gunfire to mimic real-life military scenarios. They have to train in a realistic environment, Burns said. We didn't use any real bullets. Miami police assisted in overseeing the exercises, but they were instructed to keep quiet about the exercises for security reasons. The police also blocked off roads around the Grand Bay during the exercise. So we have reported on dozens of stories exactly like that one. You remember the Boston Marathon shootings from just a few months ago. And we reported that the real story of the Boston Marathon shootings was really not so much the people who got shot and was not who the shooters were. And don't you find it odd that we're just simply 9 or 10 weeks past the Boston Marathon shooting that occupied every square inch of the newspapers for 24 hours at a time? And don't you find it odd that all of a sudden, like by magic, we're no longer talking about the shooters? It's been dropped from the mainstream media. No one is even mentioning it. 13 people, 4 people were killed and 26 people were wounded. People lost arms and legs and all that stuff. why aren't we talking about something that just happened 9 weeks ago? I really don't understand that, but that seems to be the case. And yet 9 weeks ago, this was all over the news. Now, if you had to pick a place for where the first FEMA camp to be opened might be, a very good first starting point would be Guantanamo Bay outside of Cuba. Obama promised that when he became president, he would close Gitmo. And he said it was a horrible thing whose time has long since come and gone. And he was going to be the president that shut down Guantanamo Bay. But instead of shutting it down, it has done nothing but prosper. It's gotten bigger. And he has no intention of shutting this down. So here's the story that we did just a few months ago. We said this: we have warned you for years that the day was coming where, under the pretext of national security, that the U.S. government would soon begin to imprison American citizens that they feel are a threat. That day is now here. Believe it. We said Barack Obama has abandoned a commitment to veto a security law that allows the military to indefinitely detain without trial American terrorist suspects on U.S. soil who could then be shipped to Guantanamo Bay. Human rights groups accuse the president of deserting his principles and disregarding the long-established principle that the military is not used in domestic policing. The legislation has been strongly criticized by libertarians on the right, angered at the stripping of individual rights for the duration of a war that appears to have no end. Human Rights Watch said that by signing the bill, Obama would go down in history as the president who enshrined indefinite detention without trial in U.S. law. The law contained in the Defense Authorization Bill that funds the U.S. military effectively extends the battlefield in the war on terror to the United States and applies the established principle that combatants in any war are subject to military detention. And I'll close that with this. It says, this is something so radical that it would have been considered crazy had it been pushed by the Bush administration, said Tom Malinowski of the Human Rights Watch. It establishes precisely the kind of system that the United States has consistently urged other countries not to adopt. At a time when the United States is urging Egypt, for example, to scrap its emergency law and military courts, this is not consistent. So we have right now in the United States a law in place where anyone who was declared to be an enemy combatant of the United States, just because they are declared to be that, can be detained indefinitely in a prison on American soil, and they don't have to be read their rights. They don't have to be told what they're being charged with specifically. They just simply have to be accused of being a terrorist suspect enemy of the United States government, and Obama has signed laws that will allow the U.S. government to detain people indefinitely simply because they are accused. Now, if you think that's too radical, remember this. Obama has already ordered 4 drone shootings of people not on American soil, but American citizens in foreign countries. He's already killed 4 people that he says were enemy combatants of the United States government. These people received no trial. These people were not read their rights. These people were not arrested. These people were not directly accused of anything. They were simply declared to be terror suspects and enemy combatants of the United States government, and Obama sent drones and he shot them dead. So the systems are already in place in this country right here, right now, to that the federal government can detain anyone that they feel is a terrorist, and they can hold them for as long as they want to hold them. And that is not something that's future. That is something that's a reality right here and right now. And they can do it without trial, and they can do it without proof. They can do it without evidence. And that is something that's going on in America right now. That should bother you very, very much. Now, most of this country, the same people who, in the midst of Obama's five scandals, still give him a 48% approval rating. You know what that tells you? You know what that tells me? That tells me that Obama can do any nasty thing he wants to do, and the majority of people are going to let him do it. You know, the people like us who are Bible-believing patriots, who love this country, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe the King James Bible, who are looking forward to the rapture of the church by Jesus Christ, as he promised in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we will soon be the nutcases that need to be marginalized, that need to be isolated. And the day is really not that far away when Obama is going to start detaining indefinitely his perceived enemies. And that day is very, very close. It is so much closer than you can ever imagine it to be. And that's what he's going to do. And we have just done so many stories, and the stories are coming from, just like with Ted Gunderson, he served in the FBI for 21 years. He gathered all the evidence he needed to gather, and then in the last couple years of his life, he began to talk about it, and he began to let people know what was coming. And we're doing our very, very best to get the word out. Now, we did this story a few months ago, which says this: under Obama, the FBI now captures every phone call made in the United States, not just the ones that are made by people that they feel are suspected terrorists or people who call the Middle East a lot or, and you know, things like that. Obama has instructed the FBI to record all phone calls. And where are they being stored? At the Utah Data Center, which will be fully operational in October. And our article said this: Obama demanded that all forms of digital communication allow the U.S. government backdoor access to intercept them. The real capabilities and behavior of the U.S. surveillance state are almost entirely unknown to the American public because, like most of the things of significance done by the U.S. government, it operates behind an impenetrable wall of secrecy. But Mr. Snowden, in the last couple of weeks, he put a crack into that wall, and he told us exactly what the National Security Administration has been up to. And I'll pick up the story from here. On Wednesday night, Burnett from CNN interviewed Tim Clemente, a former FBI counterterrorism agent, about whether the FBI would be able to discover the contents of past telephone conversations between two people. He quite clearly insisted that the FBI could do that. Burnett: Tim, is there any way, obviously, there is a voicemail that they can try to get the phone companies to give up at this point? It's not a voicemail. It's just a conversation. There's no way they actually can find out what happened, right, unless she tells them. And he responded with this: no, there is a way. We certainly have ways in national security investigations to find out exactly what was said in that conversation. It's not necessarily something that the FBI is going to want to present in court, but it may help the investigation and or lead to questioning of her. We can certainly find that out. Burnett: so they can actually get that. People are saying, look, that's incredible. Clemente: No. Welcome to America. All that stuff is being captured as we speak, whether we know it or like it or not. All that stuff, meaning every telephone conversation Americans have with each other on U.S. soil, with or without a search warrant, is being captured as we speak. Now, that is what the FBI is doing right now. And so I just gave you a brief sampling of all those stories to show you that every claim that Ted Gunderson made are logical, rational, sane claims to make. And this man died 2 years ago. Now, what about the guillotines? I've never seen a picture of them. I have seen, there's a picture that has been making the rounds of Facebook of a very imposing black and gold guillotine, but it says Chanel on it, like it's a designer guillotine. I mean, that would be kind of barbarically funny in a very dark, ironic sort of way. But I really don't think that these guillotines that the federal government has have been manufactured by the Chanel company. In fact, I would be quite sure that Chanel has not created those. But photos like that are sometimes spread by the government to make you think that there are no guillotines. So while I find that photo not to be credible, and I've never run that photo, I do find the testimony of Ted Gunderson to be quite credible when he talks about the 30,000 guillotines, the 1,000 FEMA camps, and the 500,000 coffins in Georgia. So how do I wrap all this up? How do we begin to make sense of all this? First and foremost, what should really bother you guys the most is that America, by and large, is not prepared, does not believe that Barack Obama is planning a military-style coup of our government. Now, something may change. He may not be the president that finally pulls that trigger, but he's already pulled the trigger a couple of times. He's already done test runs. He did it in Boston. He did it in Florida. He's already done brief incursions into dabbling in military martial law just to see what people's reactions would be. And when he did it in Boston, and that was probably the greatest example of military martial law in this country because it lasted for 24-hour period. It wasn't just an exercise. It was indefinite. But they pulled the plug on it after 24 hours. But the really scary thing about that was when it was done, the people of the city of Boston lined the streets to applaud the police and to thank them for taking away their constitutional rights, to thank them for kicking in the doors without search warrants, to thank them for telling them all to get off the street and hide in their homes. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what they did. And that was a great victory for Obama and his thugs because he now knows that the American people really don't care. And there's not enough of the people who do to make a difference. So let me, now Trent is talking about a video from Lieutenant Colonel Potter. I haven't seen this video yet. I can't tell you if it's good or if it's bad. I promise that I'll look at it after the show and I'll see if I can figure out if it's real, if it's reliable, and I'll be happy to report back and let you know what I think about it. But suffice to say, I think that a lot of information is going to continue to keep bubbling up. And Obama feels right now, he's very, very bold right now. And he really feels that this is the time that they can get away with this. Paul Warburg, he said that it's only a matter of when. He said, the question is not, will we have martial law and a new world order? The only question is, will the people willingly accept it, or will this country be taken by conquest? That's what Warburg said back in 1952. And you know what? Let's just find the exact quote, because it really is directly in line with what we're talking about tonight. And all these things that people have been saying, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, and they are here right now. And it's scary. It's very, very scary stuff. All right. Paul Warburg said this quote. Here we are. James Paul Warburg. And he said this in 1952, and he said it in front of the United States Senate. He said, we shall have world government, whether we like it or not. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. And in the 60-some years since he said that, we have moved ever, ever closer to that becoming reality. Prophecy just posted, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of the Father? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they are. Now, thank you very much for posting that quote. And Rue, could you please post the rest of that quote from 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 and verse 4? Judy just says, anyone know when this is going to happen? Are we there yet? Jeanette said, who said that quote? His name is James Paul Warburg, said that quote in 1952. James Paul Warburg, W-A-A-R-B-U-R-G-H. We shall have world government, whether we like it or not. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or by consent. So, Obama feels that now is the time. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4 says that in the last days, the world will be populated by scoffers, people who mock, people who don't believe. And that is our time period right here, right now. We live in the days of the Laodicean church age. We live in the days of the mockers and scoffers. And Obama knows this. The Bible says, I think in the book of Luke, now is their hour and the power of darkness. An hour doesn't last for a very long time. But during that time, the Bible said it would get very, very dark and it would get very, very scary. In our Tuesday night Bible study, we've been going over Matthew 24. And what started out as like a one-off Bible study, we're going to go in for the next couple of months in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Because it's important that you know, if you know how scary the tribulation is going to be and that some of your loved ones will have to go through it, and even though that you and I are saved and won't go through the tribulation, so you say, well, Brother Jeff, why do you spend so much time talking about the tribulation? Because I want it to motivate you to do something now while there is still time. It is great to talk about the glories of heaven. And it's wonderful that the Bible says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And that's great. And we're going to have all eternity to sing his praises. But let me tell you something. if you are just focused on, okay, you're saved, you don't got to worry about anybody else, you got yours, you don't got to hand out a tract, you don't got to go witnessing, you don't got to go street preaching, you don't got to go tell somebody about Jesus, is that the type of salvation that you want to enjoy as the Lord comes to get you and pull you out of here, and you didn't lift a finger to warn people of what was coming? You didn't lift a finger to try and tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Do you know one of the greatest, easiest ways that you can tell somebody about Jesus Christ? It's to hand them a gospel tract. That is one of the absolute easiest, greatest ways to tell somebody that they need a Savior and that Jesus Christ can save their soul. We will give you for free. We will give you a box of 210 gospel tracts at KristensFriends.com. KristensFriends.com. Go there. Click on the link to order the Christian tracts. All you have to do is pay for the shipping. We will send you a box of 210 beautifully designed, filled with life-saving scripture from the King James Bible, Christian story, and we'll send you a box of 210 of these tracts. All you have to do is to pay for the shipping. The tracts are completely free, and we're going to help you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And prophecy, if you would be so kind, include a link on your site for ChristensFriends.com so that people can go and get gospel tracts. That would be a great thing if you would do that. We are living in the last days. We're living in the last hour of the last days. We are living in the last 15 minutes of the last hour of the last days. And if I really stop to think about it, I might even say that we are living in the last 5 minutes of the last hour of the age of grace before the days of the tribulation. Now, Rue says that prepping won't save people, but it's good to have food and stuff stored. Well, you know what? That's never a bad thing. If the Lord is leading you to prepare with food and stuff, well, then you do what the Lord tells you to do. We are not a prepper group, but we're not anti-prepper. I have a couple of ads on the website which talks about dehydrated food and food storage and, you know, the flameless oven and all that stuff. And that's all good stuff. I mean, there is nothing wrong with any of that. And if the Lord has called you to stockpile food, great, go ahead, stockpile it. But on this program, we are trying to get you to realize through this story from a retired FBI agent, Ted Gunderson. He said there were 30,000 guillotines, 1,000 FEMA camps, 500,000 coffins that have been prepared by the federal government for when the takeover starts. That takeover could start at any time. And everything that Obama does gets scarier and scarier and scarier, and we see the American people allowing him to do it. These are all signs, people. In Nazi Germany, and even pre-Nazi Germany in 1928, in the late 1920s, and I want you to grasp this now, in the 1920s, Germany was a highly prosperous, mostly democratic country that was filled with the free thinkers and the scientists and the philosophers and the inventors of most of Europe. And if you would have told the German people in 1928 that by 1932, 1933, 1934, you would have a socialist country, a Nazi socialist country, and you would be run by a dictator that you voted into power, they would have thought that you were crazy. Now, I'm not going back very far in human history. It's not even 100 years ago. It's a war that my father signed up to fight in 1944. He graduated high school in June, and the very next week, he signed up and joined the Air Force. So it really, it's within one generation. And if you could go back in time, and if you could show the German people in 1928 what life would be like in Germany in 1934, 1935, 1936, they would have thought you were clinically insane. And yet, history shows that that's the reality. And let me tell you something. When the change came in Germany, it had been building for years, but it came seemingly overnight, and it came seemingly out of nowhere. And because the German people refused to see the signs, they were taken over in the blink of an eye. And that's exactly where America is right now. America is about to be taken over by the New World Order. It is about to be taken off the United States Constitution, and it will be replaced with either an out-and-out dictatorship, but Sharia law will figure somewhere into the new Constitution of the remade America. Oh, and we have done, go to the archives of nowtheendbegins.com, go to the blog and go to the search. It's a really powerful search tool. And just type in keywords and see the hundreds of stories that we've done on this topic. So I hope this program tonight was helpful for you in some way. I hope it illustrates to you how very precious the freedom that we're losing piece by piece, but how very precious that freedom is. It will soon be gone. Bible studies will be outlawed. Martial law will be the law of every town and city in America. And pretty soon, the first of the FEMA camps are going to start coming online visibly. You're going to see it. You are the generation that will see these things. They are already starting to happen. Now, what does the Bible say? When you see these things become start to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We are Bible believers. We have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to be looking for, because that is the next stop on the Bible prophecy train for us in the age of grace. But that does not mean that the rapture has to take place before the collapse of the American government. The American government is not in Bible prophecy. America is not in Bible prophecy. This country can be completely taken offline before the rapture happens. And we believe, and I feel that we have showed very strong and compelling evidence tonight that what Ted Gunderson said is very, very true, and you should pay attention and get something done for Jesus Christ while there's still time. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB family. Over 600 people listen live tonight. We're very glad that you're with us. Please join us back here on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to continue our study in the end times Bible prophecies of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. God bless, and we'll see you real soon. Good night, everybody.